him know that we will keep him accountable for his actions.
The Global Labor Union Federation, Education International, is warning that we are entering a geopolitical era where extreme right political neo-fascist movements from the U.S. to Europe are a real threat. Education International General Secretary Fred Van Leeuwen speaking on Canada's Radio Labour.
The extreme right in Europe feels encouraged by Mr. Trump's harsh stand on refugees and immigrants. There are good reasons for all of us to feel uncertain about the future. All the more reason to stay engaged. We must be a leading voice in ensuring that the gains from economic growth are more widely shared and that the darker sides of populism and nationalism not be allowed to take sway.
Sponsored by Iron Workers Impact, now reserving spots for this year's groundbreaking conference, welcoming contractors to grow their business by networking and attending world-class breakouts. More on this event in San Diego, happening March 19th through the 22nd, is found online at impact-net.org under Events.
Brought to you by UnionJobs.com, posting jobs for unions, socially allied, and community organizations since 1997.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
If you've been here in Portland for any length of time, you might have heard of Who's the Ross, the late-night talk show running every Tuesday night at Dante's Nightclub downtown. The show, hosted by actor-comedian Aaron Ross, who just walked into our studio just in time, Aaron, thanks, has logged over 670 performances over the past 8 years. Aaron's guests on the show have included a who's who of comedians, athletes, musicians, politicians, and TV celebrities. Just to name a few, Doug Stanhope, Antonio Harvey, Channing Frye, Nat Borchers, Timber Joey, actors Silas Weir Mitchell and Daniel Baldwin, Dave Dahl of Dave's Killer Bread, a few members of the Decemberists, the local band, 10 local news anchors, and 2 Portland mayors. Aaron's preparing the second season of his online sitcom Training Wheels and is in the middle of a campaign to fund 6 new full-length episodes. We're fortunate to have Aaron and his co-creator and writer Jordan Palladino live in the KABU studio right now to talk about the sitcom and his weekly talk show. Aaron, did you catch your breath?
We are very fortunate, yeah. I just got out of traffic on the Burnside Bridge. I almost abandoned my car behind the 12 bus, but I managed to somehow sneak around it. I lived in L.A. for 8 months, and it trained me perfectly for what I just saw, so I'm here.
Well, thanks for being here.
Thank you guys so much for having us.
Now, Aaron, your online sitcom is based on your long-running talk show we mentioned, Who's the Ross?
Yeah.
So let's start there. For listeners who haven't seen a performance, can you tell us a little about the show?
Yeah, it's like The Tonight Show. It's Conan. It's Colbert. It's Kimmel, but it's here in Portland. We always say it's like Conan
with cocktails.
Boom!
Conan with cocktails.
And Jordan, you co-write the show with Aaron?
Yeah, we've had an 11-year working relationship. It started when Aaron was teaching me improvisational comedy when I was in high school, and it kind of has just continued. And even, you know, I was in New York for a while, he was in Los Angeles for a while, but we're both here now, and we're doing something pretty cool, pretty special, I think.
Before Who's the Ross, then, were you guys stand-up comedians or in improv?
Well, he would have been 15. Yeah. So, but the answer is actually yes, more to him than to me.
Yeah, I did stand-up for the first time at 13.
In Portland?
I did, yeah.
What venues, Jordan?
I remember I was at Comedy
was
Sports.
Right?
Yeah, that was my bar mitzvah gift to myself, was getting to do my own stand-up. And I used to, on the show, I would sometimes do my old material because I found a notebook, and it's pretty bad.
Do you remember any jokes?
I remember a joke and it was, I really wanted to be an actor. I still do, because I am an actor. So Robert De Niro gained 60 pounds to be in Raging Bull,
right?
And he won an Oscar. I gained 60 pounds for middle school, and all I got was body dysmorphia.
Hey, well, all right.
That's pretty good.
The fact that he knew dysmorphia at 13, this guy.
I won the fifth grade spelling bee, too.
Yeah, kind of the over the heads of the 13-year-olds, and actually mine.
Over the head, yeah, me yeah. too. Over the heads of us all.
Well, in the intro, we mentioned just a short list, actually, of guests that you've had on the show. Aaron, let me ask you, do you have any favorites over the past 8 years?
You know, I was sitting in traffic on Burnside, freaking out, and I knew this question was coming. And my favorite locally is Antonio Harvey. He played for the Trailblazers. He was their radio broadcaster. He's been so generous to us, and he always gave us the most amazing stories from he played for the Vancouver Grizzlies and Michael Jordan. torched his team. I think he scored like 19 points in the last 6 minutes and had some pretty choice words for one of his teammates that I won't say on air. and then nationally, or rather internationally, Peter Stormare from Fargo.
Right.
The not funny looking guy.
The wood chopper. Wood
the
chipper.
Well, spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's 21 years
ago. Cone Brothers fan.
Hey, how's it going? he came on twice. I met him at a bar in Portland. Like I just ran into him and said, I have to talk to this guy. And I thought when I approached him at a bar, he's sitting by himself, staring straight ahead with one of the coldest stares you could have. I thought the guy's going to kill me for asking. But he went, you know what? I'd love to be on your show with you. You seem like a good man. And he came down to Dante's and he was great. And then I got to work with him in Los Angeles and he headbutted a beer can off a zip line, which you can see in Training Wheels episode 4. That we do with Danger Aaron. It's kind of we have a lot of moments in the Training Wheels sitcom that are based on things that happened over the many years, over the, like, gosh, 9 years that we've been doing.
Yeah, I wanted to get to Training Wheels. I had one more question about who's the Ross.
Yes.
I was wondering if there was a guest you badly wanted on the show but weren't able to get
Mayor
for some
of
reason.
Gresham has been a big one. You know, you mentioned the Portland mayors that we've had too, but we've had over 25 mayors from around the Northwest, and we did this series years ago called Mayor May, where we had a different mayor every show, and we ended up having 16 of them on in that block. And Mayor Gresham's always said no or avoided my phone calls. And I don't know, it just seems like there's jokes to be had, and we know that we wouldn't necessarily say them to his face, and maybe it would be more apologies, but we really would like to have him down. So we've got some dog treats and a leash for him if he'd like.
Okay, so still open invitation.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and there are gifts involved too.
I don't see how he could pass this up.
why would he not do it?
Right. Well, Aaron and Jordan, the sitcom which we've been talking about, Training Wheels, and Jordan, you mentioned it's based on the show Who's the Ross? So what is exactly the premise of the show? Is it like a Seinfeld, kind of a following stand-up comedians through their life?
Something like that, somewhere in between like Seinfeld or Louis C.K.'s show Louis. But instead of the show about nothing, which Seinfeld was, it's a show about a couple of guys with nothing.
Yeah, we got nothing.
Yeah, we got nothing.
Yeah.
And your inspirations, probably at least
the
Seinfeld
very little that we
Louis.
Have.
But at least those two.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Or like Broad City is big for us. We like them a lot. We hope to be as good as them. So
there's a show by Marc Maron, too, just called Maron, which is also somewhat autobiographical.
Yeah, I definitely enjoy that show. I'm not sure if Aaron is as much into Maron as I am.
Oh,
I appreciate the rhyme for sure.
Yeah, that was good.
You know, I like the idea of taking one's reality and taking the behind the scenes of creating entertainment. The idea of creating a sitcom, you know, I got to work on Grimm for a week and I just thought, I never want to leave this environment of what it's like to be on set.
As an actor.
So I pushed Jordan to collaborate on it, and it was pretty instant. I think we might have had the name Training Wheels before we had all the ideas, but we knew that if you took what is, I like the tagline for Training Wheels, good with dreams, bad at reality. you know, we can shoot for the stars and create a late night talk show. There's what, like less than a dozen, you know, on television. That's a very small niche.
Right.
That's a big goal.
But a lot of sitcoms.
But we don't have enough money for rent or can't get out of our parents' houses or don't know how to ride a bike.
Well, that leads me to the next question, actually, perfectly. You have an Indiegogo page.
Yes.
So you mentioned that the first season of Training Wheels was produced on a shoestring budget. How'd you put things together for that first season on this budget? Writing, casting, filming, editing?
Can you say sexual favors?
I think you can, okay. But not get into much detail.
No,
not at this hour.
I'm just joking.
Yeah, okay.
at this hour, huh? Okay.
Right. Well, yeah, I'll come back at midnight.
I'll be back later.
Okay.
Yeah, we had other passionate people like us that wanted to do something similar. And, you know, when you have a filmmaker and other people between actors and musicians and editor and sound, they just all wanted to do, and we had a grandiose idea, and somehow people came along with you, kind of like a Pied Piper, I suppose. If you believe in your dreams, they'll come true because, you know, people will get behind you. And it's
people
honestly
are attracted to ambition, if I've learned anything from my unsuccessful Tinder account.
That's well said.
Thank you.
Now, you're preparing for the second season of Training Wheels, and that's part of the crowdfunding effort.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you have any hard-earned lessons from the first season, things that you promise yourself you'll never do again or can do better?
I don't know if there's any hard-learned. We're really proud of what we were able to do on our little shoestring budget. I think we wanted to be more ambitious. You're going to go into a second round if you want to be more ambitious. And so a big thing with the Indiegogo is, look, it's hard enough to do it on your own dime, but we wanted to have it visually look better and have it sound better. And I think the biggest thing was, you know, I directed the first season. It's hard being the actor director. I'm no Mel Gibson because I'm not a terrible person, and also I don't have the ability to direct myself as an elite Hollywood director and actor. We were trying to get, you know, local directors in on it too that can help with the load and help improve the quality. And so there are many things, little lessons learned, nothing egregious. We to use Jordan's vocabulary from when he was 13.
A very good vocabulary.
Oh, thank you.
In addition to the crowdfunding, I just wanted to get this in. You have a live fundraiser coming up at Dante's.
Yes.
Can you tell us the details?
So every Tuesday night we're at Dante's at 9 o'clock. February 21st we're going to have a live fundraiser with musical guests that will be in the second season, comedians that will be in the second season. And it'll be just like our normal late night talk show, except telethon style. And we'll be begging on our knees for you to help us make our dream a reality of doing the second season. If people want to find out, they can go to Indiegogo and look up Training Wheels. It's also easy just to go to whostheross.com and check out our website. And it's all on the front page. You can see the first season of Training Wheels. You can help donate to the Indiegogo. Please. Pretty please?
pretty please.
Yeah. Jordan will go out with you on Tinder if you donate more. Well, is that a favor? Wait, maybe I can't say that. Jordan?
I'm happy to go out with anyone.
Great.
Please, let me go out with anyone.
Even the mayor of Gresham?
Oh, yeah, why not?
Preferably.
There's a good dog park in Northwest.
Yeah, he scratched under his ears. Yeah.
There's more motivation for him to show up.
Oh, yeah, he'll
so, love it. So again, it's Aaron and Jordan, it's Indiegogo, and just search for Training Wheels.
Yeah, or go to whostheross.com, whostheross.com, whostheross.com.
Or probably even the Dante's website, and they could look at advance Tuesday night.
Whostheross.com.
Okay, whostheross.com.
You can add us on Facebook, too. That'd make us feel
or
good.
Or Tinder.
Yeah, swipe right, Jordan.
Okay.
Jordan.
Well, we've been talking live in the KBOO studios with Aaron Ross. He's host of Portland's long-running talk show, Who's the Ross? And creator, writer, producer of the online sitcom Training Wheels, along with his co-creator, writer, and producer, Jordan Palladino. Guys, thanks very much. Training Wheels, of course, is entering its second season. To find out more, again, go to Indiegogo and search for Training Wheels.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Jenna Yokohama, Joe Leno, Don Zare, Tom Flynn, and the producer is Doug McVeigh. Special thanks to Free Speech Radio News and Workers Independent Network News. Our engineer is Danielle Parks. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Charity Marchant. The KBOO Evening Public Affairs Director is Kanan Schlesinger. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at KBOO News. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM. K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Rosalind Scott.
And I'm Ken Jones. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show, Take Your Calls. At 9, on Alternative Radio, Arun Gupta says that informed and organized people unafraid and willing can change the system. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein, your daily news magazine. At 11, on stage and studio, Dee Mae Roberts presents Literary Lesbians Love, a somewhat romantic book fair, plus actor James Dixon talks about his new role in the classic play Dutchman by Amiri Baraka. And at 11:30, it's Art Focus, interviews with curators, critics, and artists. Thanks, KABU members, for your generous support. Not a current member? You can become one by going to kabu.fm and clicking on Donate. Good night, Roslyn. Good night, Danielle. Good night, Aaron and Jordan.
Good night, Kim. Good night, Danielle.
KABU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the screening of The Brainwashing of My Dad, examining the influence of right-wing media on individuals and the nation. The screening takes place on Friday, February 10th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. Jen Senko, who will be present at the screening, tries to understand the transformation of her father from a non-political, lifelong Democrat to an angry, right-wing fanatic, and asks questions about who owns the airwaves and what responsibility does the government have to keep the airwaves truly fair, accurate, and accountable to the truth. Again, The Brainwashing of My Dad, Friday, February 10th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church, 1211 Southwest Salmon Street in Portland. More information can be found at kabu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KABU Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the 27th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films, taking place Thursdays through Sundays until March 4th at PCC Cascade in Portland. The Cascade Festival of African Films shows us Africa through the eyes of Africans, rather than a Vision of Africa package for Western viewers. The films celebrate Africa's achievements, expose its failures, and reveal possibilities for a hopeful future. The festival includes live music performances, plays and short films, documentary, and a Women's Filmmakers Week. Again, that's the 27th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films, Thursday through Sundays until March 4th, at Moriarty Arts and Humanities Building, Room 104 at Portland Community College, 705 North Killingsworth Street in Portland. More information and specific times for the screenings can be found at kabu.fm